It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
HP and Hot Water.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Legal troubles may lie ahead for Hewlett-Packard. California's attorney general says company insiders at HP could face criminal charges. The charges stem from the company's probe and information leaked to the media. HP allegedly hired detectives to impersonate directors and journalists to get their phone records and other data. Bob Moon reports.
Some analysts were declaring HP's problems all but diffused by the company's boardroom shakeup yesterday, but it turns out there may be still other shoes to drop. California's top prosecutor is making it clear HP remains very much in his sights. Attorney General Bill Lockyer spoke in an interview aired last night on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer on PBS.
We currently have sufficient evidence to indict people both within Hewlett-Packard as well as contractors on the outside.
In fact, Lockyer told PBS in no uncertain terms, crimes have been committed.
People's identity was taken falsely. It's a crime. People accessed computer records that are personal information. That's a crime.
Up to now, there's been little effect on HP's stock, but some analysts are now wondering if the prospect of a lingering legal storm may yet rattle investors. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
David Safavian was back in court yesterday. He's a former chief of staff to the General Services Administration. He's also the first person tied to the fraud scandal around lobbyist Jack Abramoff. It was back in June that he was convicted for obstruction and making false statements. Safavian found out yesterday that his conviction would not be overturned. He faces up to 5 years behind bars for each count against him. When you look at a nation's economy, you focus on certain key indicators. China is planning a new one that promises to be a lot of fun. It's called the Happiness Index. Jocelyn Ford has more.
China's statisticians want to know whether people are satisfied with their lives. So this year, the government will start asking citizens how they feel about their income, social services, and the environment. Hong Kong-based economic consultant Robert Broadfoot thinks he already knows what the results will be.
All I can say is I guarantee you that China is going to be one happy country. Can you see somebody saying, I'm not happy, and pulling down that index? That could be hazardous to your health.
China has long had problems collecting accurate economic statistics because local officials' salaries are linked to economic growth. China's been trying to improve its accuracy. For example, it no longer allows local governments to publish their own GDP statistics because in the past, added up, they would come out several points higher than the official national GDP. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Some possible heavy legal action over light cigarettes. Smokers will ask a judge today to grant class action status to a suit against tobacco companies. If a judge says yes, it could open the floodgates. Tens of millions of people will be able to seek as much as $200 billion in damages. Sinking oil prices led to rising optimism for investors on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow rose 101 points to 11,498. The Nasdaq climbed 42 points to 2215. The S&P 500 was up 13 points at 1313. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei was also up 13 points. This is Marketplace. Time Inc. is shrinking. It's selling off some of the smaller but still profitable magazines it owns. Rachel Dornhelm explains why.
The 18 magazines up for sale include Parenting, Popular Science, and Field and Stream. However, Time Inc. says they'll hold on to Golf and This Old House. Media Week's news editor Lisa Granitstein says this doesn't reflect on how those particular magazines are doing. It's a business move.
By unloading the smaller niche titles, they will be able to invest more in the bigger titles that have more readers, more eyeballs.
Granitstein says Time Inc. wants to concentrate its resources on major brands like Time, People, and Sports Illustrated as they navigate new media trends. She adds some of the magazines on the block will likely be bought by their current competitors. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SHRM's new book, The New American Workplace, presenting a look at the hot-button issues that define work in the U.S. More at shrm.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Corn. Is it food or fuel? Maybe both. The Department of Energy wants the nation to be able to produce 30 billion gallons of renewable biofuels by the year 2030. Most of that will come from ethanol. Right now, when most of us think of corn, we think of it as food. Sam Eaton with the Marketplace Sustainability Desk traveled to Iowa recently. He wanted to see what happens to the economics of corn when the demand for food competes with the demand for fuel.
Drive through central Iowa and the fact that this state is the nation's top corn producer becomes pretty obvious. Cornfields stretch to the horizon, broken only by the occasional farmhouse. But to find evidence of another top national ranking for Iowa, you have to look a little closer. Inside a cluster of white clapboard barns near Ames, Iowa, Dave Moody is raising another product that's just as important to Iowa's ag economy, pigs.
Iowa is the number one state in pork production in the United States. It's about a $12 billion business in the state of Iowa.
Moody says about a third of Iowa's corn and soybean crop ends up in the pig trough. It's a case of classical economics known as value added, taking a relatively cheap product, corn, and turning it into something that fetches far more money in the supermarket, like pork chops. But with demand for corn-based ethanol surging, turning corn into fuel has become much more profitable than using it for food.
You know, if we lose a lot of corn to the ethanol, it's definitely going to bring prices up, and that's one of the biggest costs of pork production inputs is the feed ingredients.
Ethanol has already pushed corn futures up by around 11% this year. And some economists predict the price of corn will double over the next few years as more and more ethanol plants come online. Daniel Bossi is president of Ag Resource Corporation in Chicago, which analyzes U.S. grain markets. He says ethanol production now consumes 15% of the nation's corn crop, up from around 3 to 4% just 5 years ago.
In terms of corn, it's a tremendous demand component that we have not seen in this industry before. It's a demand shock that is going to ripple through the farm economy, and I think for all of us, probably raise food prices and food inflationary fears as we go along in time.
Bossi says the price of meat in the U.S. could surge 20 to 30%. That has hog farmers like Dave Moody worried about a future where the nation's thirst for energy goes head-to-head with its demand for food. The Iowa Corn Growers Association says new, higher-yielding seeds will make up for any shortfall. But Glenn McClellan, president of one of the nation's top pork producers, M2P2, says that's optimistic at best, especially since the meat industry operates on such a tight margin.
There's a point where not only will we lose our demand for the product that we do, we will lose our ability to maintain any margin, even if we have demand.
And that point, he says, is something most pork growers won't know until it's too late. In Ames, Iowa, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Sure, you can buy an expensive rock that usually...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.